Hey, hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, November 20th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
You must be Igor.
No, I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
You were sent by Herr Falkstein, weren't you?
No, not that either. So she's back, author, educator, activist, coach, and pro-dom, Eve Menix is back with us today for another go-round on this, the Sex Education Show. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 397, and presto. But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search.
I'm sure we'll get along splendidly.
I hope so. As you would expect, Eve's jumbo talent simply can't be contained on just one website. So she invites you to look for her at evemenix.com, mistressmenix.com, and sm-arts.com. And for the big picture, be sure to follow her on Twitter. Look for all of these links in today's podcast posting. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library.
You know, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm a rather brilliant surgeon. Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
What hump? You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab in the header. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and also informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. And remember, a portion of the money you spend at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself, comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So knock yourself out. Okay, on with the show. Eve Menix, welcome back to drdicksexadvice.com. Thank you for joining us again for this sex education show. I hope you had a good week. People have been responding very nicely to your podcast of last week, and I'm glad you're back because I have tons more questions to ask you. How was your week?
I had a great week. I had very busy, lots of activity, teaching workshops and tormenting people and just
and other fun things to know. Very cool. All righty.
Having you back, Dick.
I want to turn our attention today to another project that you're involved in, and it's smarts.com. And this is what I read there. The Academy of SM Arts, Erotically Adventurous Adults, 18 years and older, can explore their kinks in trust and with complete confidentiality. The Academy was founded in 1995 by the internationally recognized kink educator and ritualist Cléo Dubois in order to dispel negative myths and false notions about fetish and BDSM. Her goal is to empower those drawn to fantasies of consensual power play to find connection, healing, and a satisfying sex life through the exploration of their erotic desires. This is so wonderful because it really dovetails with what all the stuff that we talked about last week about connection and healing and satisfying sex. Let's talk about that some. You are part of the faculty, right? And can you tell us what kind of classes you teach there?
We like to call me the lead staff instructor.
Of course we do.
Basically, in a nutshell, SM Arts was created and developed initially by Cléo Dubois and her dear friend and colleague, Sybil Holliday. And I actually attended the first workshop.
Wow.
I came out from Chicago to attend that workshop.
So this must have been around for, 1995, it says, yes? Right, good.
Well, the Academy was founded in 95. I think they really didn't have the weekend-long intensive workshops
until
2002, mm-hmm. I want to say. I hope I got that right. I think that was the year I took. It might have been 2002. In any case, Cléo and Sybil and I got along really well, and they invited me out to assist future workshops. And then eventually Sybil recognized due to health problems, she would need to retire, and they asked me to step in.
Wow.
Not to her shoes, which I could never do,
yeah.
But step into the space of co-developing the intensives with Cléo. So that's the initial evolutionary process of it, and it's definitely evolved and grown over the years. So I've been there for some time now, and I lead a lot of different workshops there. I think some of the ones that I'm most specialized or known for are the DS segment of the course, the dominance and submission exercises in direction, keeping and creating and maintaining a safe space, and formalized DS instruction, slave protocols,
wow.
Collaring rituals, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And then my other specialty, if you will, is fantasies, role plays, how to access. Last week's show we talked about archetypes, so
yes.
Talked about using role play as a way of trying to access some of those archetypes and find deeper, richer sources that may be a part of you and a part of your erotic dominant self, so that you can then utilize that in scene and not feel so kind of fake and cheesy about that. And then my other specialty is, I think I can say this on your show, I'm not sure, hard sex.
You can say anything on my show. You know why? Because it's my fucking show. That's why.
Awesome. Yeah, I love hearing that. Yeah. Hard sex. Fisting, fucking lube, dildos, fun stuff.
How you do go on, ma'am.
You gave me permission.
I absolutely love it. So I noticed, and you also mentioned this just moments ago, that most of the programming are intensives. Tell us what an intensive is, for those who don't know, and why intensives?
Yes, well, the intensives, there are two formats. They all involve all day Saturday and Sunday. The one for professionals includes all day Friday. The one for non-professionals begins on Friday evening. So you have 2.5 to 3 full days of non-stop layering in, from the very basics of how to exchange energy, because we really feel strongly that if you're not able to exchange that energy in the first place, you know, picking up the paddle or the whip or the rope or whatever
right.
sex toy it is not really going to help make you connect any better. So,
I'm thinking. Isn't that true? Because a lot of people think, oh, it's all about the accoutrement. You know, just look at my dungeon, look at it, it's got all this, or my playroom or whatever, and I got all these. Well, that doesn't make you a power exchange person, if you ask me.
Yes. And, you know, once again, I feel very strongly that having that connection is paramount to the entire experience. So, you know, toys be gone. Having said that, of course, I have, you know, kind of a massive.
Yes, you do. I've seen pictures.
Lots of equipment and, yeah, lots of fun with all of them. But if, you know, if I didn't feel it, if I didn't feel a way to move through that toy, you know, or that piece of equipment into the other person, you know, I'd just step back and I'd play with them physically, right, play with their energy physically while until I got there.
Yeah, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about you. Something really interesting. How did a nice girl like you get all wound up, no pun intended, in all this kinky stuff? She is at a loss.
Well, I'm not at a loss. I'm never at a loss. It's a decision-making process. Do I do the 100% honest version? Do I do the semi-honest version? Do I do the longer version that's honest, or do I do the longer version that's, you know, semi-honest? It just goes on and on. There are options, A, B, C, D, E, and possibly F. In a word, I think you know, I'm kind of a not a nature versus nurture kind of gal. I kind of believe that when you were talking about pheromones last week, I immediately thought of, like, you know, these things where people want to designate genes, the gay gene or what have you.
Right.
I don't think that there's a dominant gene, although in the world of psychology, there's this supposed type A and type B.
Right.
And we could say that most dominants are probably fairly type A. But I think that even if you have a tendency towards that kind of personality, you can certainly learn how to relinquish a certain amount of control, et cetera.
Right. And probably would be really good for you if you did.
Correct. And that would be me. I used to actually say years before I even knew anything about SM that I was a control freak trying to control it.
I
just didn't think it was a great idea to be controlling everybody all the time. Still don't. Stop laughing.
All right. I'm going to sit here quietly now.
So I think I've always been, you know, I've quite possibly always had a little bit of a tendency to be a bit of a bossy boots. I was the queen of the girls on the playground at school, and, you know, I beat up all the boys, and I mean, I really think that those were my kind of dom roots, if you will.
So this has been with you throughout your life. I'm hearing. Yes.
Yes. When I started getting into it, I started having all these memories. Not that I had forgotten them, but just sort of like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Oh, I used to do. Well, I used to do that.
It curiously enough, a lot of the people who have preceded you on this show said the exact same thing. Particularly the folks who are performing in a professional sort of role with other people, it was part and parcel of who they are. They couldn't imagine themselves without it.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, when I was the queen of the girls, that was in third grade, so I was 8 years old, I also had, I think, 5 boyfriends, and they would do things like take over my traffic guard shift for me.
Wow.
And bring me trinkets, oftentimes stolen from their mother's jewelry box. and they would, you know, they would give me little offerings and little gifts. And you know what I was doing primarily with them?
What?
Kicking them in the balls. Until my mother found out.
Right.
That, you know, she said,
you're never going to grow up and have a career like doing that.
No, she said, you know, there's really something you can't do to boys. You just can't kick them in the balls. My mother was a very honest woman. She wasn't mamsy pamsy.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, once again, I probably came from that ilk as well.
Yes.
But so I just didn't mention it to her again.
Uh-huh.
Continued to do it because, you know, they liked it.
Yes.
So I want to be clear, though, that I was never kicking boys in the balls because I hated boys wanted to hurt them or anything even remotely of that nature. My initial impetus was to protect the girls who were roughly the same size as these boys, but they, you know, screamed, "Ah, save me, save me," and So I would come in, and I had this red vinyl purse that I'd picked up at a thrift store. It had a very long shoulder strap on it, and I'd wear that thing. I was a tomboy, so I had nothing in the purse whatsoever. It was just like, I'm a girl, I can carry a purse, who gives a shit, right? And I would whip that thing off of me, and I would swing it around the top of my head, and I would just take out three boys at the same time between the purse and the kicking them in the balls. I could get up to five in one fell swoop. And it was really productive. You know, it was really helpful. The girls felt safe. The boys got their yayas out, and I got a few trinkets out of it. So everybody was happy, I think.
Wow, that is amazing. So let me ask, is Eve Menex your given name or your nom de perversion? And if it is your chosen name, how did you come up with it?
Okay, thanks for asking that. It is my chosen name. My given name is beautiful. I love my given name very, very much. It just doesn't sound very dominant.
I love Eve Menex. I just love that name. That is such a cool name.
Well, I like to say, you know, there are no more Menexes out there. Yeah. So if there's a Menex out there, they're a forger. They're a fake. Except for one exception to that, and that's... Madsen Menex is my boy, who's not my biological boy, but he's my boy, has been with me for 10 years or so as a mommy-boy relationship, and he's a wonderful videographer and musician and artist in his own right, and his name is Madsen Menex, and he proudly wears the familial nom de plume as well. So,
Cool. So
I mean, how I got to choose that was a different story. So my given name is it okay to say my given
name? Sure, if you want to.
I have no secrets.
Good, me neither.
Leslie Frank, and I love my name.
It's pretty.
Good, solid, Frank. I'm a very frank person. Great name. But, you know, it's like Mistress Frank, you know, Domina Leslie. I don't know. It's really not right. So... I thought, okay, I want something that's kind of very... I knew I wanted something that nobody else had. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wanted alliteration because I'm an alliteration slut. And I was going to go with mistress because, honestly, at the time, I didn't know about maestress and domina and all these you know, titles that have since occurred. So I was like, okay, I want something with an M. I was doing a lot of research, and my slave at the time was doing some research as well, and I'd just gotten back from Australia. I'd been living there for a year and a half when I was in the women's circus, and I also have this thing about spiders. I'm not exactly arachnophobic, but I definitely have, I mean, snakes, mice, rats, you know, big animals, nothing really, not afraid of anything, but spiders kind of squicked me. Mm-hmm. And living in Australia, where there's quite a few poisonous ones, and we lived with quite a few poisonous ones, it was kind of a trip. So it turns out there's a Menex spider.
Is that right?
Yeah. And it's also known as the Christmas spider or the jewel Menex. Lives in Southeast Asia and Australia primarily. So it's like, cool, Mistress Menex, that really works. Then a few years later, I was realizing I can't return a client's phone call, you know, at his office and say, it's Mistress Minnow. So I had to come up with a first name, and I like the flow of Eve Menex. So
that is, it's great.
First lady, first woman.
First lady, there you go. Exactly.
Who fucked shit up. I mean, Lilith is the one who I really
bomb,
but Mistress Minnex, ooh, talk about a mouthful.
You know, I do a lot of workshops with death and dying, and one of the things that I do early on in the workshop is talk about how we got our names. And most all of us don't have chosen names. We were given our names, but they are significant nonetheless because, you know, to some degree or another, we have all owned that because we have to or because we want to. And if we trace our names back, like who are we named after and all this kind of stuff, it's really revelatory, and it's a very good thing, I think.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. I'd love to be
a participant in one of those workshops something someday.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how that works.
Well, we can arrange it, don't you know.
So
give us a quick bio. Tell us lots of interesting things about yourself, where you were born and raised and schooled, and do you like muscle magazines and gladiator movies? Do you have a husband, a wife, a partner, a pet? That kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I am from the Midwest, so we are notoriously challenged on talking about ourselves at length. Thank you for some of those guiding questions. That helps quite a bit. You know, I don't normally tell people that I'm from where I'm from. Mm-hmm. I tell them I'm from Chicago. Chicago makes it easier.
Yeah.
But I was born and raised in Hendricks. Well, I was born in Hendricks County, Indiana, and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm a Hoosier.
Yes.
Today, if truth be known, but lived for a large part of my adult life in teens through adult years in Chicago, so mm-hmm. I can see that, my sort of home base. Gladiator, no, don't know anything about those. Not, I've heard, you know, they can be really sexy, not really happened to me in my life yet. What were the other questions?
Husband, wife, partner, pet.
The favorite color of my moment is purple.
Yes, it's true. Purple. I just saw pictures of your new hairdo.
Thank you.
How lovely.
Thank you. I am married to my chihuahua, Samson.
Very good.
He is 14 years old. I think that quite possibly once he goes, I may have space for a human partner in my life. I'm poly, not in that sort of hippie kind of a way, mm-hmm. but in that kind of way that recognizes that we have different types of relationships with different types of people, and they can be just as deep and meaningful without necessarily being romantically partnered.
Right.
So, you know, I do have a lover. I like to keep myself active, let's say. And then I have tons of play partners, primarily, bottoms and submissives.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a 24/7 slave. I mentioned my boy Madsen. I have a couple danglers out there who are old family, let's say. Everything's chosen family for me. My family.
Yes.
My biological, if you will, family is kind of primarily dead.
Mm-hmm.
To be graphic.
Yes.
So it's been important for me for a very long time to reach out to others and form familial bonds in different ways.
Right.
It's a wacky world.
It says something about us, too, about the people that we choose to invite into our life as opposed to the ones that are imposed upon us because of some accident in
sure.
the cosmos.
Sure. But what's also interesting, and I don't want to get off on something too much of a tangent, but I'm very curious about this sort of, I've always been a very inclusionary person, and most of my friends, especially my long-term friends, are very inclusionary as well. So you're a yuppie banker. Okay, you're here now. We're going to accept you. We're not going to judge you for that, you know, even though that's not who we are.
Right.
And yet, you know, you turn around and try to hang out with the yuppie banker and their friends, and suddenly there's complications.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's taken me many, many years to go, inclusionary is really important and really valuable, and sometimes you might want to not expend your energy too much where it's not going to be reciprocated.
Yes.
So you, if you choose a family, and most of those family are what I would call people who are seeking kind of a self-authenticated life, meaning, oh, who am I, what's really going on here, and how much can I be very real? And those are the kind of people who are, generally speaking, pretty permissive and open-minded to a variety of different personality types.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I use the yuppie banker, and I'm sorry if that offends anybody out there, but what I'm trying to say there is sort of anyone kind of mainstream. We could say a very generic mom type.
Yeah, soccer mom in the suburbs.
Really revolves around her children and her, you know, being with their children. And then, so here she gets included, and she's all wowed and interested, and this is fascinating. But then when it comes time to kind of reciprocate that energy and say, hey, why don't you come out and watch the kids' soccer game today, she can't do it.
Yeah. It's true, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. Once again, it's not a judgment call. It's just an observation that I've made as I been maturing, and so sometimes I have to take pause and just say to someone, you know, I call those people tourists.
Yeah.
And so I have to say to my little island, can you sustain more tourists at this time?
Right.
Have you reached your peak of tourist season right now?
Very cool. Let me ask you a couple really important questions as we come to the close of our time together. First of all, I'd like to turn our attention to an area of specific interest to me as a therapist. I often hear from kinksters and pervs, as well as your run-of-the-mill gay and lesbian folk, that they are often frustrated in their search for sex-positive and kink-aware healing and helping professionals. I suppose that you are equally attuned to this pressing concern, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Would you care to share with us how you help them find these people that can, or what kind of advice you give to folks who are looking for therapists or healing and helping professionals that will be attuned to them?
Sure. You actually touched on to a large part of my work these days. I have been working with TASHRA, which stands for the Alternative Sexualities. Hang on. The Alternative Sexualities Health Research Alliance.
Very cool.
Okay, TASHRA, and what that has been formed from is a healthcare alliance that's being formed to help people who are particularly interested or practicing kinky practices and have concerns about addressing some of those issues with their healthcare providers,
yes,
whether they be psychological or physical.
Right.
And also helping, you know, match them up. And it's a newer organization, so right now it's actually in the incarnation of doing the research on demographics, who's out there, what they're seeking, and things of that nature.
Right.
So I'm very excited about this project, and I'm hoping to see it really develop a lot more information and research on people who practice kink and SM, just to find out what our needs really, really are, instead of us continuing to guess.
Right.
Oh, well, I would guess that. Blank. and then CAP, of course, which is part of the NCSF, so the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom, is a website. Well, it's not. It's an organization. It has,
yes,
a website that really, really, really helps promote sexual liberties in the U.S. and the world. I'm not sure, actually. It's national, no, just U.S. But CAP is K-A-P, and that stands for Kink Aware Professionals.
Yes.
And you can go to that directory on their website and try to look up resources in your local area that may be of help to you. So what I've done in the past is help people sort of sort out three or four options for themselves,
right,
and then, you know, contact those people individually and determine who might be a good match for them.
Right. And the operative word there is to discern that. You just don't choose somebody and hope that they're going to be really good for you. You should do some research and some interviewing. That's what I tell my clients. I'm on that list of the kink aware professionals. And I'll put a link on today's podcast posting about that. But I always tell clients, listen, or prospective clients, do your homework. Find somebody,
sure,
who's going to be sympathetic to who you are and what you do.
Right, and you don't want to have to
educate them.
Yes, it's a balance, okay?
Yeah.
So if they don't know a certain amount, but you really love the work that you do, because on the other hand, I've also heard tell of people who automatically chose the first kinky person that came along,
yes,
or the first person who,
yep,
knew anything about trans identities,
yes,
and they worked with them for years and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, you know, there's a happy medium in there wherein, you know, I've worked with plenty of straight people over the years who, you know, may be very vanilla identified, and I've gotten a tremendous amount of work from them. And I, you know, and I've also worked with clientele who may not have any similarities whatsoever. But if we're doing the work and we're getting in there, then that's what's most important. However, if I'm spending, you know, 40 minutes out of 50 saying, well, this is SM and this is how it works and this is how my relationship with my slave really works. And I mean, I had a therapist at one point who said, well, what do you mean by queer? And I went about explaining what I meant by queer, what that personal definition was for me. And when I stopped, she said, well, that just sounds like what we used to call bisexual.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt unheard in that moment.
And let me pay you for this hour.
$150. Thank you very much.
Yikes. Well, listen, time is up again, and you're such a treasure. You're such a joy to talk to.
Likewise.
I wish we had more time, and I'm sure that we will be speaking again in the future. But for right now, would you give us your website address or websites? Walk us around and make sure you tell us where we can buy your new book.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I'm at evemanax.com. I'm also at mistressmanax.com. Obviously, smarts.com, bondage.com. if you just type in Eve Manax.
There you go.
Stuff. Facebook, Twitter, FetLife, yada, yada.
Very cool. And again, I will have links to all of those sites in today's podcast posting. Eve, thank you so much. We're the richer for the experience. Thanks for all the time. I know you're really busy, and I appreciate you spending so much of your quality time with us.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on the show, and it's been an absolute delight, I have to say. I love giving good interview, but with you, it felt even extra so.
Okay, till we speak again, be well, be happy, and do good work.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, pretty amazing show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay?
Yeah, I think I would, but just let me finish up here. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. Your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? And remember, a portion of the money you spend at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself, comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So knock yourself out. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.